All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I wanted to talk about recycling. Now, everybody who was anybody in elementary school here in the United States learned a good deal about recycling. I think it's something that is in a lot of curriculums, and it's a pretty popular idea. Most places that I've been to in the country recycle on a fairly regular basis. Some don't. A good number of them don't, particularly in the South and regionally in the United States. There's less of a presence of it. And I just wanted to get into recycling and sort of its benefits, what it saves us from in terms of a horrible alternative future, and my policy recommendations as to what the U.S. should do to increase recycling rates, and composting rates, for that matter. So first, the obvious. When you recycle, you obviously reduce the amount of trash that's circulating around the system, and the amount of trash that's ending up in landfills. And other places where we dump our trash, that would be overseas in some cases, and sometimes domestically. And in fact, the U.S. sent the vast majority of their trash to the People's Republic of China for a very long time, until recently, where they said no, no more. But at any rate, by recycling, you take things like aluminum, glass, other metals, some plastics, and you recycle them so that they don't end up just sitting and in these landfills all over the world. They get reused into different products. So you're not having to, A, mine for new, gather new resources to make things. You can build them from old ones. And B, you're not crowding out land area on the earth, which is limited, with trash. And so that's, you know, those are all two good things. And so not only that, it keeps the environment clean, it keeps our landfills smaller, and it helps us reuse products so we don't have to go digging for new ones. In addition to that, the recycling industry itself is actually quite the financial smart move to make. The industry, it's pretty strong. If the United States, using a statistic I found, if the United States were to go to 75% recycling rate by the year 2030, we would create 1.1 million new jobs, while at the same time, we're creating a more environmentally friendly industry than the one we're using right now, which is primarily through landfills and trash. And in addition to that, we're going to do a direct comparison on that using the same article that I found that I'll link in the bio here, that for every job that's created at a landfill, about 9 to 30 jobs are created at a recycling, in the recycling industry. So it just, that's incredible. That's, you know, for every one person that would work at a landfill, you would have anywhere from like 9 to 30, you know, 15 new jobs, 15 people who would be able to have a living wage and pay for things for their family, you know, go to school, buy things at a Target or Amazon or something like that to generate the economy. When more people have money and more people are employed, they spend that money and they generate the economy. So it's an economic boom. It's an economic surplus, especially when you compare it to landfills, where you really only have, you know, a smaller number of people operating the landfills. Because recycling is a more involved process. You know, landfills, you kind of just throw it, separate it and throw it in the ground to vastly oversimplify it. But recycling has a lot more in terms of sorting and repurposing and all of that. So it's a more complicated process, which means more jobs for more people. And so in addition to that, in addition to the financial piece of recycling, I also wanted to get into composting. And composting is taking organic materials from trash and putting it back in the soil. Fundamentally, that's what it is. And composting, I used to live in Boulder, Colorado, and composting was required for every business out there. If you wanted to open up a restaurant, you needed to have a trash can, a recycling can, and a compost can. So it was a big thing in certain parts of the country, but it's definitely not where I live now, and it's definitely not where I lived before. So composting is another really important piece of it, though, because it increases soil biodiversity, which is key in terms of a strong agricultural output. And, you know, we talk a lot about praising farmers, and, you know, some circles of us in the United States talk about praising farmers and the agriculture industry and how important that is. But a big piece of that is strong soil biodiversity, because it protects plants from various diseases and viruses that can infect the plants and just create massive die-off in these crops. And that's actually what you found in the case of the potato famine way back in Ireland in the late 1800s. There was actually a disease that infected the potatoes out in Ireland, and that's what caused this big thing, the big potato famine that killed so many Irish people and caused the mass migration of those Irish people to the United States. And so, I mean, that just underscores the importance of biodiversity, especially in the context of a changing climate, which acts as a nice transition to my third piece on this, and that is the cost of not recycling. Now, obviously, recycling and emissions from not doing so are only part of what's contributing to climate change. Obviously, a big piece of that is things like the fossil fuel industry, where you have, you know, the creation of the mining of oil and gas. The extraction of oil and gas, and that creates a lot of pollution. Manufacturing creates a lot of pollution, but refusing to recycle and just throwing in things in the trash also creates a large impact in terms of pollution. Like I said before, if you don't recycle, you have to constantly create new materials, and that means higher manufacturing, manufacturing of raw materials instead of reusing existing ones. That's just one example. So this recycling has big ripple effects into the long run. And, we all know that the climate's changing, right? And it's man-made. And so what we ought to do in this case is to take steps that are going to prevent a more catastrophic future. So there are a lot of estimates on the impact of climate change in the next so-and-so years. But, you know, if things continue on the way they're going, climate change is going to cost you personally. Let me see who pulled this up. Again, I have another article that I'm going to link in the description here. The NRDC projects that if the climate change trends remain unchanged in the next 100 years or so, it's going to cost globally $1.9 trillion annually in order to fight off these unnecessary climate change pieces. And they're saying that per country, it could end up somewhere around 3.6% of any country's gross domestic product of a given year. And that's pretty significant. It doesn't sound like, oh, good, well, 3%, that's not really a big deal. But when you look at it in the context of a country that has to pay for defense, social services, education, roads, infrastructures, all infrastructure, to add another 3.6% on top of that for really, truly unnecessary expenses is devastating. And we're already seeing the impacts of climate change now. You have large tropical storms that hit the Southeast and batter it every single year. You have wildfires out in California that are just raging. Half the state seems to be burning at any given time in the summer. We're seeing the effects of climate change, and it's costing us now. This is not something that's tomorrow or down the line. And I think that by putting more of an emphasis on things like recycling, not only for just individuals, but for counties, for cities, states, et cetera, and the whole country, companies as well, you know, that's going to go a long way on top of other measures. And so this is what I'm proposing. These are my policy recommendations. The U.S. should create more stringent recycling and composting standards to apply across the United States. And to enforce that, it should come with the construction of a private partner, a private-public partnership type situation, with the construction of recycling centers and the infrastructure to be for smaller businesses and smaller towns and cities, and for smaller firms and for individuals to recycle and compost without any cost to them, or without a significant cost to them at the very least. There should be more of that infrastructure in place for individuals to be more sustainable and compost and recycle regularly. And they should also have these stricter regulations in place so that companies, who are oftentimes the largest producers of trash, have to stay within those bounds as well. And by building this infrastructure to recycle, these recycling centers, and by creating subsidies for private companies to get into this recycling industry, you now have a situation where people can do it, can recycle and compost. They can be informed, they can be educated, and they can have easy means of doing it. A lot of countries all around the world, you know, they have these strict, these more stringent regulations in place when it comes to recycling, and people do it because, well, they have to. And the same would be true here in the United States. And by creating these sites, you're also creating jobs, particularly, again, when you come back to these smaller towns that are often more impoverished in rural areas, we're saying, smaller rural towns in the U.S., areas that are impoverished, you find a situation where, well, now they have access to more jobs and more abilities to make, and more ability to make money than they did before, because now they can get a decent paying job at a recycling center. And so how I think this can be done is by repurposing the subsidies that the U.S. government gives for fossil fuels, and repurposing some of those, most of those, to this particular industry. The U.S. spends about $20.5 billion subsidizing the fossil fuel industry every year. And by repurposing these funds that subsidize an industry that is costing us money, that is costing the U.S. money, it's costing you, the taxpayers, money, by repurposing the funds that subsidize that industry into funding the industry that will not only save us money, but generate us money in the long term, we're making a more efficient U.S. economy. I mean, this is an argument that stands whether you're left, right, or center here. By creating an industry, by funding an industry that's going to create jobs, that is going to create a safer United States, a safer planet, and a more profitable energy sector in the United States, we are evolving as a nation into the future. And so when you take an obsolete funds, industry, like the fossil fuel industry, and you repurpose those funds, you know, into an industry, it just mirrors everything we've done in the past. You know, when the automobile industry came around, we didn't try and cling desperately to the horse and buggy. We moved on because the horse and buggy was no longer profitable. It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense anymore, so we moved forward to cars. And now in the same way, we've seen this situation where producing trash and collecting it in landfills is not working. So we need to move on to an industry that not only is more sustainable for us, our kids, and future generations, but is more economically efficient.